It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 396. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show, Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show, and don't forget the wiki, mtswiki.com, for links to all of the past shows. I have a great jam-packed show again for tonight. Lots of cool utilities that we're going to talk about to start off the show, and then that'll lead into some email and some great email questions, great email recommendations for tips and utilities and follow-ups to some of the questions that I throw out there in some of the shows. So keep the email and the voicemails coming. I love it. And a quick plug for last night's Tech Vets. Carrie Holzman and I recorded a Tech Vets show last night that was an unrehearsed mock interview where Carrie pretended to be interviewing for a desktop technician position. I was the hiring manager, and then I critiqued the interview as to why I would or would not hire Carrie, and got into very specific results as to why I wouldn't, and some of the things he did good, some of the things he did bad. If you know anyone that is about to interview for a job, that show will be a great show to listen to. And I have an accompanying document. It's a PDF preparing for the job interview that I wrote a few years ago. It still holds today, and I can't recommend that any stronger to listen to that and to listen to even that podcast where I talk about that. It will, I believe, really help you prepare for the job interview. And there, I know you will find some nuggets that will maybe help you close and land that job. So before we get started, I want to thank GoToMeeting for continuing to be a sponsor of the podcast. We develop trust in the people we know, but we don't really know someone we can't see. That can be a tough hurdle in business. And with employees and clients around the world, that's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's a simple online meeting service with group HD video, and it helps you get better connected to the people you depend on for success. If you have a presentation, there is no better service where you can hold unlimited meetings for one flat rate, and you can hold them online where everybody can connect with just one click, and it's very easy. They support voice over IP. They support all devices, Android, iPhone, iPad, Mac, PC. GoToMeeting is the best online meeting service, and you can try it free for 30 days. But you got to go to GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code podcast. So let's go to GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and then enter the promo code podcast, and you will get 30 days free for GoToMeeting. Want to talk about some great utilities. First utility I want to talk about came up not last night, but the week before in the chat when I was actually, it was in the post show when someone needed a very, very old operating system. And I happened to have a very old CD and was willing to share that image with them to help them get over the hump. And I needed a way to get an ISO image from a CD. Everybody in the chat, the first thing they said is image burn, I-M-G-B-U-R-N. And it's a very simple app that you can easily just download the software. And when you run it, it comes up with a very easy menu where all you got to do is click, hey, I want to create an image from a CD. The icons, very simple to select, a piece of cake, and a great program, and it's listed in Ninite. So when you go to our favorite site for updating all your software and getting new software, this program is contained in Ninite. So excellent program. Now, the next program I want to talk about, it's something that a lot of people have recommended, and it's called TerraCopy. But this week, I've been experiencing some interesting issues, and I can't blame TerraCopy, but it's certainly one of the new programs that it embedded itself in your shell. So when you're copying, it uses TerraCopy. The reason why it helps copy faster is it uses dynamically adjusted buffers, and it reduces the seek time. And asynchronous copying speeds up the file transfer between two physical hard drives. So that in itself, it has great error recovery, and it comes up with a really nice menu and information when, you know, do you want to overwrite files? It's a lot better than the built-in copy and paste in all of our operating systems. So I figured I'd give TerraCopy a try. But here's something I found out. Rather than have it integrated into the shell, why not just use the portable version? So here's what I did. I actually uninstalled it. I've been using it a couple days. It has not presented any problems. But this week, I have been experiencing issues with my mixer locking up while I'm recording. And I don't know which software I added. And I added a bunch of utilities. I updated a lot of programs this week. So I haven't pinpointed exactly what's causing the problem. And if I do narrow that down, I absolutely will let you know. But I have a very unique setup. I install so many programs that you're recommending. And I'm always playing and tweaking. And my setup is very unique because not only do I have it set up where I can respond to consulting issues, but I also have the audio set up for recording the show. And then I'm also playing and testing with drivers and updates and utilities. So, and then I try to keep my system as stable as possible for when I go on live. So I'm not your typical user. So given that, when I run something and it doesn't work, I don't know. But TerraCopy does work. But I recommend the portable version. So I'm going to have the link to the portable version in the show notes because it's I think a wonderful program for when you want to do one-off copying. You got a lot of files that you need to copy from one drive to another. Next program, Revo Uninstaller. Now there's a pro version, but there's also a great freeware program. Revo has saved me many a time when you have that program that you've installed and you can't get rid of it. And you've used their uninstaller and it doesn't work. Well, Revo will rip it out and remove it. So this is a great program. They also have a portable version that you should always keep on your USB stick, that you have all of your favorite utilities for helping someone or yourself. Revo Uninstaller, great program that I thought was worth bringing up again because I had to use it for a client this week to rip out a strange program that wasn't cooperating with us, and I couldn't get rid of it. So anytime the uninstaller doesn't work and it leaves traces of a program, we go to Revo, uninstaller. The program, it was an antivirus program that was not Norton. I think it was ESNet that I wanted to get rid of that was causing a problem for a client. And ESNet, it just wouldn't go away. So the only way to get rid of it was to throw Revo at it. One of the programs that I want to talk about that I've linked in the past, and many of you have written in and suggested this program for transferring from one computer to another when you need to back up all of the programs, and you know we have checklists for what to remember so we don't forget where the email settings are, where the NK2 file for Outlook is, all the browser settings. Everybody has been recommending FABS Auto Backup for Tech. Well, this past week, I bit the bullet, finally got the program, started playing with it, and not only started playing with it, and I tested it here where I had to transfer my profile from one computer to another. I have successfully did this on a couple clients already. This is a must-have program. I like this program so much, I immediately signed up to be an affiliate. And as a matter of fact, the author sent me, when I linked this, he sent me links, said, Mike, sign up to be an affiliate since you keep talking about the program. Well, I finally did. So what does this program do? There are a couple versions. There's FABS Auto Backup 3, and then there's 4. 3 is a personal program that is just for you if you need to go back up your own profiles and your files and your own information and you need to transfer from one machine to another. But if you're a tech, if you are doing this for supporting anyone, family, friends, you have a shop, you're doing consulting, it's a must-have. And I know for a fact next week I have a couple clients that I will be using this for. Not only does it easily pick personal folders where you get the Windows desktop, the launch bar, how about their wallpaper? How many times, I know I don't take the time to transfer someone's wallpaper, have it doing it automatically. The My Documents folder, everything. My Pictures folder, music. Now, here's what I like. It does all of the web browsers. Now, you know, I always recommend separate programs to get Firefox. I always say Moz Backup or Rexbac for Internet Explorer. How about Google? How about Safari? How about Opera? How about, what if they have AOL? Kevin in the chat just said, it not only does it do that, but it also does all of iTunes. Now, the link I'm putting in the chat is the link that is also the link for me as an affiliate, where I'll actually get credit if you purchase it. Let's move on. It's not just the web browsers, but how about mail? All the different mail clients store all of their settings in so many different places. So now you can have it Outlook Express, of course, Microsoft Office, Windows Messaging. I'm going to be doing this on Monday, and I know for a fact that the client has Outlook Express, and we're going to be migrating to a newer operating system. How about Mozilla and Thunderbird? In Credimail, I haven't even ran into a Credimail, so I've been very fortunate. Screensaver settings, Windows Vista calendar, how about Skype data and settings? The sidebars and gadgets. The program, I think, is discounted. It's like $52. That's what 40 euro is. I believe that's like about $51, I think, the conversion. I'm pretty close. For 50 bucks. You can't go wrong. Then it even has some common and shared files. This is everything you want. How about your Picasa settings, Intuit, QuickBooks, the Windows 7 downloads folder? I know because it grabbed it on mine. When you run the program, you get this main menu and you either backup or restore. Pick the drive you want to go to. It will recommend a subfolder. check that. So this way it'll put the date and it will list the folder with the name of the profile. So let's say you have a system with a whole bunch of profiles. You can literally nail them all by just checking the boxes of the profiles, then just click next and it will step you through all of the selections and you just let it rip, walk away, go do something else while it is backing all of these files and settings. This is clearly the easiest way to transfer from one system to another. This has saved me a ton of time. And I already know on the horizon just how many clients I'm lining up where I know they're getting new systems. So I'm going to be able to easily transfer all their profile information and migrate them. Why is this so important now? But there is an opportunity coming up. It's a little ways out, but April 2014 is the end of life of Windows XP. That's when there's no more security updates. That's it. Not so much 2012 as 2013 is going to be the year of migrating off of XP. And there is money to be made if you are in this business. I know a ton of small businesses, large businesses. Now, large businesses, they'll have their own IT departments. They've already migrated or are in the process of migrating. But how about all the small businesses that haven't pulled the trigger yet? You can come in with a program and a plan to easily migrate and capture all of the info from all the desktops and be able to easily migrate them to new computers, or at least back it up, and maybe the hardware is good enough, reinstall, take an XP system, and let's say it's a fairly new computer and it's got XP on it. It's within 3 years old. You might need to add a little more memory. And now you can easily back up all of the profile and files and information, redo the system, Windows 7, and then put the stuff back very easily. I think it's a must-have if you are a tech and you are in the business. It's required. And I can't believe that I haven't paid attention to this utility in the past. And Bryce from TechNibble has been behind this, and Steve Cherubino from Podnuts, he's been behind this, and I'm at the tail end here, just getting on board because I've been just too busy, and I finally have embraced it and have accepted it, and it's a great program. I couldn't recommend it any stronger because I don't know of another program that is so complete in nailing all the detail. I looked at everything that it's grabbing and I'm like, that is my checklist. It's right there. Someone's taken the checklist that we've talked about on all the things that you have to remember and then some, and they put it together and they've automated it. Does a utility like this put us out of business? No, because it takes a tech to understand everything and to make sure you're doing it right and then restoring it back. Jerry in the chat mentioned Backrex for Internet Explorer. Backrex backs up every security setting, every option within Internet Explorer. It is the one piece that I have not fully tested within FABS Auto Backup. Backrex still might be one of those little programs that you still might need to have if you have a client or somebody that still has Internet Explorer and they have a very complicated setting. Like all the financial advisors I support, they have very complex Internet Explorer settings that you just have to grab. It wouldn't hurt because it only takes a second for Backrex to run. So I'll probably, in those situations where I know someone heavily uses Internet Explorer, I will also run Backrex to grab all that information. It seems like it grabs all the complete profile information for Firefox and for Chrome because it grabs the entire directory. But like Microsoft, God forbid that they should be organized and keep all the settings in one place or one nice profile or one. No, Microsoft has to scatter it all over the world on the hard drive, all these settings, or embedded in the registry somewheres. So that's why you still might need a program like Backrex to kind of grab all of that. Well, I'm going to start with some email, but the first one is a utility that I wanted to talk about that was sent in by Jerry, who's in the chat, and I want to thank you very much for sending this. And he said, I came across this program called Drive Identifier recently, and probably from Lifehacker. I've used it on a few computers, and it's the easier way I found to accurately find driver updates. It scans the system for drivers. You can uploads the drivers to the www.driveidentifier.com and displays links for any of the drivers that need to be updated. Yeah, you have to be careful not to click on the ads. And I'm glad he mentioned that. They do surround everything by Google ads, and I hate that. Just be careful where you're clicking. A great little utility that will help you find updates to your drivers. And I ran that and found that all my Logitech camera software is out to date and my ATI card, the drivers. I'm always careful with my video drivers. I don't just update drivers for the sake of updating. I don't just update just because there is an update. Is there something going on that requires me that would make sense for me to update the drivers? The way I use the cameras and interact with Ustream for my show, absolutely. Remember, take a look at each of the drivers and where it makes sense, apply the update. Don't just randomly update drivers. I don't like that. I know there are people out there that, and there's techs that want to update, got to be the latest, greatest driver all the time. I don't live on the bleeding edge of drivers. I don't like that. I want to keep a stable system as best that I can, maintain a stable computer system. So we don't have nights like last night where my mixer kept locking up in the middle of recording. A great recommendation to check out and put that on our list of utilities. Thank you, Jerry. This email is from Michael from Arizona. And he says, Mike, after your endorsement, I am now using SyncBack. However, I see a possible future issue that I may run into. Let's say SyncBack is echoing all files from the source to the destination. No files get deleted on the destination. I actually like that. So that's actually a feature I like. Over time, files are deleted on the source and never deleted on the destination. After some time, doesn't the destination get full of old deleted files? In a year or two, would I have to recover from the backup? Isn't the backup destination full of old deleted files? Yes, it is. Even if I delete files, I don't mind going through a second step deleting them again. What you're talking about is not a backup as much as you're talking about a synchronization. And that's different. If you want to just have exactly what's in directory A, and you want that backed up, and you want it always to match directory A, then synchronize. But be careful. If you accidentally delete a file on A, it's going to be deleted on the synchronization. So I like that second step. Yes, it's extra work. But if I delete something, I want to know that I can go back and it's not deleted. Yes, if I have to do a full recovery, yes, I will be restoring files that I deleted. But I would rather that than miss a file that I accidentally delete or gets deleted by some process or something that I now can't get. To me, it's a feature I like, and I guess it's how you look at it. So that's my recommendation. You know, I would say keep it and keep that extra step. So you're dead on your assessment here of what the program's doing. So couldn't this be avoided if when SyncBack encountered a file on the destination that is not on the source, it moved the file in the destination into a deleted files folder? This way, accidentally deleted files can be easily restored, and a complete restore from backup is not choked full of old deleted files. Have you had this issue, or how do you avoid this issue? Well, as you've heard me say, I don't avoid it. I embrace it. But you can do the following. You can have a post-process. You know, there is a report that's generated from SyncBack that could tell you the difference of the files that are there. And I'm wondering if you could take that list and export it into a post-process that would then do exactly what you're saying and move those files into, let's say, a backed up deleted files folder. That would require a little extra work, but I don't think it would be that difficult. You might want to look into some of the advanced features of SyncBack Pro version 6. There's a lot of features where I haven't explored where I think you can actually say what to do with a file that it comes across that is not on the source, but it's in the destination. What do you want to do with that file? Take a look at the newer versions of SyncBack. It might be able to help you with that. This is from Kingsley. I like that name. Hi, Mike. I am a podcast listener in New Zealand, but I'm always 4 or 5 shows behind as I listen to your show on the way to work. You frequently mention Malwarebytes, and I have downloaded the 14-day trial. Well, actually, Malwarebytes is free. So you might be looking at the pro version that you're, the paid version that you're looking at a trial. But remember, Malwarebytes at malwarebytes.org is actually free. My question is, do I really need Malwarebytes and Microsoft Security Essentials, my only virus checker? Which I'm glad. You should only have one virus checker, only one antivirus program, but you can have multiple anti-spyware programs. So Microsoft Security Essentials, yes. Microsoft Security Essentials cannot do it all. It's a very nice antivirus. And by the way, I've embraced that because it's the best free version in a corporate scenario. Where Avira, with its licensing, you know I love Avira, and that's what I use, but you cannot legally install that in a corporate environment for free. You have to use the paid version. So I have been in a lot of scenarios lately where we are removing the Norton. We'll call it the Norton virus and the Norton infestation. As we remove that from systems, my recommendation is Microsoft Security Essentials. And you can install that for free and put it on all the workstations. And I've been doing that lately, as a matter of fact, for a couple law firms. Here's the question. Yes, you should have Malwarebytes and probably Super Anti Spyware also. No one program can do it all. You need security needs to be and protection needs to be provided and installed in layers. And you got your antivirus software, you got your anti-spyware software. And I just, as Vince in the chat just mentioned, I just love Super Anti-Spyware Portable. And they update themselves so much though. You're constantly. Updating, and that's fine. So you got to stay on top of this. Now, I actually have the paid version of Malwarebytes running all the time on my computer, and it just updates automatically, and it will stop from going to bad websites and anything malicious that could be happening on my computer. I'm in favor of the paid version of Malwarebytes, actually, even though I always recommend at least using the free version. But that doesn't, you have to run it yourself. You know, you got to take the time to launch it and run it, where the paid version just keeps running all the time. By coincidence, and this is the first time ever, Microsoft Security Essentials alerted me to Trojan Downloader Java OpenConnection.nc, which I removed. Up to now, I'd always wondered whether Microsoft Security Essentials was doing its job. Actually, it does a fairly good job. And I would flip a coin between that and Avira. I still think Avira is better. But from the licensing issues that I explained, you know, if you're in a corporate setting, go with Microsoft Security Essentials. If you're home, Avira is fine. You get one nag screen a day when it does its update. Kingsley, thank you for your question and your email. This is from Simon, and he says, "Hi, Mike. In response to the listener who was decommissioning the SBS 2003, you suggested he may have issues to consider regarding backing up the proposed NAS drive. I have a customer who had just had that arrangement and scratched my head for a long time for a cost-effective solution. As you will know, most online backup services like Carbonite, Mozy, etc. will not back up network drives. I did discover a notable exception in Rackspace Cloud Drive. I tested this with map drives and it worked just fine. Although the backup management console was not very user-friendly. Of course, this still requires a workstation with file access to all data stored on the NAS and to manage the schedules, etc. Pricing seemed fair at $4 per user, 10 gigabytes included, then 15 cents per gigabyte. In the scenario above, only one user would be needed since presumably all the data would reside on the NAS, including the client machine's documents and settings. All of the above said, I eventually ditched the whole plan in favor of the following. A Windows 7 Pro workgroup computer acting as a file server. A public share on this machine for all workgroup users. A user share for each workgroup member. A recovered file share for the public folders and each user share. I then installed SyncBack Pro on each user's computer and created a group profile containing one-way syncs for all their important data, not forgetting Outlook. This group profile was then scheduled to run at different times on each computer, avoiding any simultaneously syncs to reduce network congestion. A shortcut to run the group profile was placed on each user's desktop should they wish to run a manual sync. They were also instructed to run a manual sync with Outlook closed since Windows cannot by design back up open files over a network. Finally, I installed Macrium Reflect, the paid version, on the file server to capture a daily incremental image of all partitions to allow a quick restore of the file server. The program will run whether or not a user is logged on, provided the computer is powered on. It is also configured to run at the next startup if missed. Both I and the client receive a daily email to confirm the image was backed up successfully. The images are stored in encrypted form on a 3 terabyte USB drive and taken off site each night at close of business. This solution now allows them to restore a file from any sync by simply mounting the appropriate image file, even though the sync might have since been overwritten on the file server. If the listener wants any more detail from me, please feel free to pass him my email address. Kind regards, Simon. Simon, I like what you've done, and I have used that model for clients. The only difference, instead of using Macrium Reflect, I use the for the workstation for doing an image, I'll use Shadow Protect. Or if it's a real server, I'll use Shadow Protect for small business server. And that gets me the image. And that notifies me every night. As a matter of fact, all my retainer clients, I'm getting emails every night on every single backup, so this way I'm alerted instantly whether it succeeded or it failed. but I like that kind of hub and spoke kind of, you know, wheel where everybody is syncing to one specific place at different times. And then you have that one system backing up and they're taking it off site. The difference is now you got a manual process of someone remembering to take the drive. What I've done on some scenarios is then incorporate a trusted online service like you were looking at with Rackspace, or I've mentioned Envelock or services like that, professional services, Mosey Pro, where you take that backup of the backups of all the desktops and then go to the cloud. So now you know you're getting a backup and it's off-site. Great idea, Simon, and thank you. And thank you for sharing all that detail. I really appreciate it. This email is from another Michael, a Michael in Buffalo, New York. Hi, Mike. Love the show. I have been considering the TechNet subscription, and he means TechNet Plus, to learn more about servers and other Microsoft products. But I don't have a company. I do help people on occasion, but I don't have an official company. Does it matter when I purchase a TechNet subscription? Will they ask for a company name? I have a name on my business cards I had made up, but it's not an official company. I just don't want to get in trouble with Microsoft and licensing. Great question. It's for anybody. If you want to be able to get the latest, greatest, every operating system, every piece of software that Microsoft has, an investment in a TechNet subscription is absolutely worth the investment. It is how I've stayed up on all of the server technology and all the server operating systems, Office, Windows 7. I can't wait when Windows 8 comes out. I'm going to have my licensing available that I'll be able to download and play with. For Office, not only do you get Office 2010, Office 2007, I also got Office 2011 for the Mac. It's how I stay on top of all the Microsoft versions, all their operating systems, all their applications. If you can afford it, it's a great investment. It's under $300 per year, and I truly believe it's worth the investment if you go to add up what you would pay for all of the operating systems. And all, you get five licenses for each of the pieces of software. Five full Office versions alone. Five Windows 7 Ultimates. Five Windows 7 Pros. Add it up. Do the math. Definitely worth it. I wrote Michael back and told him, go forth. Do it. Great investment. If you use Amazon to purchase anything, or you have family, friends, please use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price remains the same, but I will get a commission and it helps support the show. It is a great way to show your support. Pass on that link, use it, abuse it, and I thank you all so much for your continued use of that Amazon link. I really appreciate it. Music for tonight, a little different. The music I'm going to share is from the Cranberries, but this is a cut from their new CD that will not be released until next week. And the song I've selected is Losing My Mind. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
Losing, I'm losing.
and that is the Cranberries. New CD. The song is Losing My Mind. CD is titled Roses, and that will be released on February 28th, and I'll have a link where you can purchase it and have it the day it comes out from Amazon.com. I want to thank everybody for being part of the show, everybody who's here live, Ustream, and your support of the show and your participation. It's great. Thank you so very much. Quick reminder, next week, I will be broadcasting live on Wednesday night, not Thursday night. Got some plans on Thursday night. Won't be able to do the show live, so it'll be Wednesday night. So with that, I'll see you next week, Wednesday, 8 o'clock, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.